Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. And as I sought the Lord in His direction for the broadcast this week, we're going to be looking at one of the books of the Old Testament, and I've entitled the message, The Unwilling Prophet. We're going to be looking at a short book, the book of Jonah, the prophet. And many unbelievers just ridicule the story, the narrative, as simply a myth. But even some scholars regard it as legend or parable. They don't believe it was, you know, there's spiritual lessons in it, but they don't really believe it actually factually occurred. Well, let's look first of all at the fact that Jonah the prophet was indeed an historical character. In 2 Kings, the 14th chapter, verse 25, the word of the Lord says, Jeroboam restored the border of Israel according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet who was from Gath-Hepher. So he was indeed a literal person. He wasn't just this isn't just a parable of someone named Jonah. But even more significantly, Jesus himself made a reference to Jonah. And I'm going to read the references that are found in the New Testament. And he referred to the account of Jonah as being factual. Let me share Matthew, the 12th chapter, verses 39 to 41. And, well, let me give that preceding verse. It says, certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered, this is Jesus, and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. There's another reference in Matthew, the 16th chapter, verse 4. Well, let me go to verse 2. Jesus, they basically, it's just another reference to the Pharisees, the Sadducees coming, and they were tempting him, desiring that he would show them a sign from heaven, perform some miracle for us. And he, Jesus, answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And then a couple of verses in the 11th chapter of Luke, verses 29 and 30. And when the people were gathered thick together, he, Jesus, began to say, this is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. So we see that not only was he an historical figure, Jonas, but also that Jesus referred to him. It wasn't a parable. He was very clear. He was speaking factually about this narrative that is recorded in the book of Jonah. And the book itself was written approximately in the 8th century BC when Amos and Hosea were prophesying. It's primarily a biographical narrative, a portion of time in the life of Jonah. And the account is chronologically progressive and straightforward. All right, so let's go. If you have your Bibles, you might want to go to the book of Jonah. Let's do just a brief synopsis, if you will. In chapter 1, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." But what he does, when he heard that message, he went up from the presence of the Lord. He fled to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down with that ship to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Verse 4 says that the Lord sent out a great wind in the sea. There was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. And just without reading any more, the mariners are really afraid, and they, being superstitious, they felt it was the sign of a God's displeasure. And Jonah was asleep in the bottom of the ship, and they woke him up, and they said, "Pray to your God." And you know, the amazing thing about Jonah, sometimes he's not seen in a very charitable light because of what he did and his personality. But he said, he admitted he was the cause of the storm. He knew that. And in verse 12, he said, "Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." And that's a sign he was willing to die to preserve the life of those innocent men. It was because of what his actions. But they didn't want to do that. But finally, they prayed to the Lord, even though they had no relationship with him. They said, "Don't lay this to our charge." And so they threw him in the sea, and the men were very afraid. Oh, and when they did that, the sea got very calm. The storm ceased. And then they knew that it was the Lord. And in the last verse of that chapter, the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Okay, so that was what happened in the first chapter. He basically evades the divine command to go to Nineveh. He's overtaken by the Lord, and his subsequent punishment, which is to be 3 days and three nights in the belly of a large fish. And then in the second chapter, Jonah is praying to the Lord and his deliverance. Even in the depths of the sea, he finds God. Psalm 139 and 10 says, "If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there thy hand shall lead me and thy right hand shall hold me." So after 3 days, the Lord spoke to him again, and he obeys the Lord's commission to go to Nineveh. And Jonah proceeds in obedience this second time with his message of warning to the Ninevites. And when he does that, Nineveh repents and the judgment is averted. And they were perhaps one of those wicked cities on the face of the earth at that time. And then in chapter 4, he sees the results of his preaching. They repent. And because there were some issues, which we'll go into, that the Jews hated the Ninevites and many of the other people of that Middle East because they were a very cruel nation. And so he was basically disappointed at the success of his own message. He was basically lamenting the repentance of the Ninevites. He would much prefer to see them destroyed. And what the Lord does, he rebukes him and taught Jonah a lesson in divine love and mercy. All right, well, this short book has many spiritual lessons to be learned. I suppose the first thing that would jump out at us is it's not a good thing to disobey the Lord. The Perils of Disobedience. God was asking Jonah to do something that was hard and unpalatable. To the carnal mind, refusal of God's request would seem reasonable and patriotic for a Jew at that time. How would a person react today if God sent him into or her into a foreign country to a people who had oppressed and cruelly treated his own people, who were still an enemy, and preached to them the mercy and love of God? That might be a little hard. And it would seem that Jonah was being asked to prolong by their repentance, the life of the nation which was seeking to exterminate his own. Actually, I think from what I remember historically, that they did exist another 100 years, but of course they went back to their wickedness and ultimately were totally destroyed. And so from an historical point of view, it's interesting to note that while there's no Assyrian inscription which mentions a religious awakening such as described in this book, during the reign of Adad-nirari III, 810 to 783, there was a swing toward monotheism, which may have been the result of Jonah's preaching. And this awakening may have occurred during the reign of his predecessor, in the plague of 765, and then there was an eclipse of the sun in 763, a second plague in 759, and those were events of a type regarded by these ancient peoples as evidence of divine judgment. And so all these things that occurred historically could well have prepared the people to receive the message of Jonah. Well, my time has flown, and I must bring this broadcast to a close. We'll continue tomorrow, and as always, I do invite you to write and share your prayer needs. The announcer will give our contact information. If you choose the convenience of email, you might wish to include your mailing address so I can respond in a personal way, but I will always confirm receipt and, of course, pray for whatever you share. Thank you for joining me. I love you and pray for you every day. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.